Turning to Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I want to read one verse this morning, and I want to preach today on the subject, the main purpose for church. The main purpose for church. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. Jesus, of course, addressing Peter. He said, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. We rejoice today because of your presence. We rejoice today because we've been blessed by the preceding services, the music, Sunday school hour. And Father, we just come today thanking you for your presence and looking to heaven today for you to open those windows and bless today and meet needs. My Father, there could be someone here today in this building that came to church as usual, but yet, if they're not careful, they'll leave as usual and nothing will change. Could be someone here today without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Could be a Christian today that just needs to be reminded, as I'm sure we all need to be reminded, of shortcomings, of needs, of burdens that we not only have, but burdens we need. Now, Lord, bless us today, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, here in this passage of Scripture, he informs Peter of his intention and, of course, his program for the church. No doubt about it, no question about it, that he is the foundation stone, or he's the rock upon which the church is built. You'll notice in the reading of this passage, "Thou art Peter, but upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The rock in this portion of Scripture is not referring to Peter, but it's referring to Christ. He is the stone. He is the foundation stone. He's the rock which a church is built. We know today, we understand as we read the Bible, as we understand a little bit about the theology and so forth, we understand that the church is a spiritual building made up of living souls that have been redeemed by God's grace. The birth date of the church, we believe, was Pentecost, and it continues today during this dispensation of grace and will leave this earth in rapture. We believe that to be true. We believe today that the rapture is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. I think of Hebrews chapter 9. "He hath appeared to put away sin. He doth appear." And then the Bible says, "He shall appear." Now, when I think of the church this morning, and especially today, we want to talk about the main purpose for the church. The membership of the church. I'm talking about those that are members of the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the membership of the Smith Grove Baptist Church. I'm talking about the membership, the members of the body of Christ, the church. Membership is never severed. Never severed. Isn't that wonderful to know? Membership in the body of Christ, in the church, is never severed. For the saved, as the Bible teaches, are recipients of eternal life, and physical death does not sever that membership status. Even when it comes to the matter of physical death, all it does, the only thing that's changed, is a personal location, for it means present with the Lord. But so far as membership status is concerned, that is never altered. That is never changed. When a person is saved, thank God they're locked in. They become a member of the body of Christ. And membership status is never will never change, even when it comes to the matter of physical death. What about the main purpose for church? What about it? You know, probably, and I wish it wasn't true, but probably today, if we'd go up and down this church building, visit every pew, talk to every person, and ask every person the question, what's the main purpose for church? Some, no doubt, would have a little bit to be, there'd be a little bit to be desired in the answer. What is the main purpose of church? Well, we're here again. Another Sunday. We've had a good Sunday already. Sunday school classes, music has been good. Here we are again. Another week has gone by, another Sunday morning. Here we are again in church. Again, we've opened our Bibles. And again, I'll begin to preach. At the end of the sermon, I'll hold an invitation, as we usually do. We will then leave. We'll go home, either home for lunch or to a restaurant. It'll happen. We'll continue to have services here in the future, Lord willing, if Christ doesn't come back. And we'll schedule activities. In a couple of weeks, we will again have Bible school. As the year progresses, we will be scheduling special services for the 4th, for fall, and for Christmas. You see, that's what we do at church. And that's what is expected. And who's to say that we do not enjoy these scheduled activities? We do, and we should. But why do we do all of these things? What is the main purpose for church? What is the main purpose for church? I think we probably all know, but knowing is not enough. I would say today that knowing must be matched by showing. We say, I know what is the purpose of being in church, but am I showing what is the purpose of being in church? What is church? What is church? Let me suggest an acrostic. Using the word church. You ready? What is church? Well, let's look at the word. Let's look at the letters. Church. A called handful of unified, redeemed, committed to Him. A called handful of unified, redeemed, committed to Him. I believe that's what a church should be. A called, ecclesia, called out ones, church. A called handful, handful. Not the whole world, handful. God, in a sense, has a handful. Oh, it could be a big handful, but it's a handful. Not the whole world, but a handful. A called handful of unified. That's God's plan, unified. Unified. Hearts together. Minds together. Purpose together. On the same sheet of music. Unified. Redeemed. Yes, redeemed. Called out, redeemed ones. Redeemed by the grace of God. Committed. Committed, yes. Committed, certainly. Not to church. Not to services. Not to Sunday school class. Not to deacon boards. Not to the pulpit. Not to ushering. Not to singing. Not to the choir. But committed to Him. Commitment must be to Him first of all. What is a church? Now, could I say this morning, we're not committed to Him if we're not committed to His agenda. It's one thing for someone to say, I love my wife, I love my husband. But it's another thing to say that, and also the love translates into respect, caring for, looking out for, and all the rest. To say I am committed to Christ is not enough. It's to be committed to His agenda. What is His agenda, preacher? Three verses come to my mind. Three verses. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Another verse comes to mind. 1 Timothy 2:3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. Who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Who would have all men to be saved? What is His agenda? His agenda involves the redemption of sinners through His cross work. Another verse comes to mind. God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. To be committed to Him would mean that we need to be committed to His agenda. What is church? Well, the acrostic that we've shared pretty well says it. But committed to Him. I think in this church, as we breathe, as we move, as we teach, as we sing, as we preach, as we take up offerings, as we have mission budgets, as we do all these things, we do them committed to His agenda. What is it? Saving the lost. We don't save, God does. Committed to His agenda. I believe the devil is a subtle thing, person, so to speak. Spiritual power. Subtle. If the devil possibly can, he wants to get a church's attention off of the issue of winning people to Christ. Of seeing people saved. He wants to keep us away from the Savior's agenda. It's one thing to say, I love Jesus. But do we love Him enough to cooperate with His agenda? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who would have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of truth? Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We should be driven by a desire to see people saved. Amen. We should be driven by a burden to see lost souls come to Jesus Christ. That's the main reason we have church. We could argue and say we come to church, we're edified, we're built up. Well, again, no. Now, again, who would have all men to be saved? You got to reach them before you can teach them. You got to win them before you can wed them. You've got to get them the gospel before you can share and teach them what it is in the Bible. The agenda. What is church? What's the purpose of church? I would, this morning, mention this. The purpose of the church is seen in the objective of the church. The objective. I think of the calling of the preacher for one thing. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The calling of the preacher. The preacher is called to preach the gospel. To give out the gospel and to preach that people will hear the gospel and by the Spirit of God's conviction come to Jesus Christ. The calling of the preacher. The commission of the church. Matthew 28. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things. And then you know the Great Commission. Teach all nations. Now, what about it? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing, the Bible says. But what must happen before baptism? Salvation before baptism. So as we think of the Great Commission, we have to automatically see in that commission itself that people have to, first of all, be one to Christ before we baptize them. So to baptize automatically assumes you've got to get people saved. Folks, this morning, you and I ought to be burdened more, ought to be praying more, ought to be inviting sinners to church, ought to be passing out gospel tracts. Our living, our breathing, our doing should be coupled with our burden to see people saved. We're losing it. You see it everywhere. We're losing it. The construction of the church supports my message. The construction. Peter talks about we're lively stones. We're living stones. Living. Living stones. You know the construction of the church? Church is built up, people saved, become members of the body of Christ. We're called lively, living stones. Now we're talking organism, aren't we? More than organization. We're talking organism, living stones. Now how are they living stones? How are they alive? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's through the new birth that produces a living creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's living. When God saves, he makes us a living creature. What's the church to be doing? Winning people. Wedding them. Excuse me. Winning them, wedding them. And we could argue and say, yes, work them a little bit too. Get people busy. Get them involved. It's been said if a church is not reaching out, it's passing out. If we're not reaching out, we're passing out. May I just say right now, the average person today come to Smith Grove Baptist Church, probably myself included, we came with the attitude, business as usual. We'll come to church. We'll hear the choir sing two songs. We'll have two special numbers. Ushers will come forward. We'll take up an offering. The preacher will get up. He'll preach a sermon. He'll come to the invitation after about 30 minutes. We'll go home. The average person never thought before coming to church this morning, I'm coming because I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm trusting that God today will get a hold of some old sinner's heart and I'll see somebody saved. I've come today expecting God to do something in some lost person's life. But too many times it's simply business as usual. Let's just have church. No, let's come and compliment, be committed to the agenda of the one who we claim to be committed to and who we claim to love. Let's be committed to his agenda. To be committed to his agenda means that when I pray, on the top of my prayer list will be God save souls. God save my relatives that are lost. God save those people that are coming to church that are hearing the gospel that are not saved. God save my neighbors that live around me. God save. God save. Lord save. Lord save. Lord save. Committed to his agenda. That'll be in our prayer life. When we come to church on Wednesday night services, we'll hear more requests from people saying, preacher, would you have the church to pray for my sister, my brother, my aunt, my uncle, my child, my grandchild that needs the Savior. Committed to his agenda. Who would have all men to be saved? And yet all we do many times is just simply church as usual. Church as usual. What is the purpose of church? We see the purpose as we've looked at. The objective of the church proves what it is. The oppression of the lost. The oppression of the lost should drive us to get in line with our Savior's agenda. The oppression of the lost. Lost people. Sinners are shackled by sin. Sinners are in prison. They're sentenced. They're on death row. They're awaiting execution. The sentence has already been served. The wages of sin is death. Death. And lost people are on death row. Will one day face the judge. There will be no pardon given. Presidents might pardon criminals. Presidents might pardon people that are incarcerated in prison. But no sinner will ever be pardoned simply because God is loving. Simply because God cares. God will never violate his holiness. God will never violate his justice to save a single sinner. Think about this. God doesn't pardon the sinner. We don't use the word pardon. We use the word justification. The only way that God can save a sinner is through the death of His Son. And a sinner has to accept Christ as Savior in order to go to heaven. But God just doesn't look down upon from the pedestal on high and look at the masses of people running around that are lost and say, because of my love for that person, because of my care for that person, I'll just go ahead and wipe their slate clean. No, we have to get to the cross. If God would judge His Son in our stead, then my friend, you and I have to trust Him in order to get to heaven. The oppression of the lost. That should help us to realize the purpose of the church. Imprisoned, sentenced. And there is certainly no concern from the world side of the house in where people are going. David said, no man cared for my soul. Oh, that's true. Multitudes are at the crossroad. Joel talks about the valley of decision. And the need is far greater than people's response today. The harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And people today are dialing 9/11 spiritually. I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I'm suffering. Will someone help me? And I believe the church has the answer. I believe the people of God have the answer. I believe saved people have the answer. You see, you and I have once lived in sin, but now we know Christ, and now we have the answer. And God doesn't want us to be a bunch of FBI agents and CIA agents running around keeping our testimony and keeping our testimony under the hat. We're to get it out there. What's the purpose of the church? Who would have all men to be saved? That ought to be our main drive around here. We ought to be doing it all the time. Sunday school classes. Teachers ought to be teaching their Sunday school classes and giving invitations and asking their kids personally. And by the way, why is it becoming so hard to ask a person point blank, are you saved? Why is it becoming so hard? Many people don't even do that. They say, well, I don't want to meddle. Well, our Bibles tell us we ought to be meddling in that way. Telling people about Christ. Our Sunday school classes. Our lesson plans. We ought to be thinking about leading our kids to the Lord. Our Bible school, of course. All that we do. I mean, everything, every ministry around this church ought to be fed by the desire to see people saved. Who would have all men to be saved? How can we argue that away? Purpose of the church. Think this morning about the outreach of the redeemed. The purpose of the church can be seen by the objective of the church, by the oppression of the lost, by the outreach of the redeemed. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. Should be our heart's desire. Heart's desire. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Heart's desire ought to be a thing of our heart. Thing of our heart. The outreach starts in the heart with a desire. With a desire. The heart. The heart. The heart. Are you asking the Lord this morning to burden your heart? I believe the burden, God has to give it. And I believe this, I've seen this down through the years. I've seen many times when people make a conscientious effort to win others to Christ, to witness to other people, the burden begins to come because we find ourselves so weak and so in need of God's help. We find ourselves praying more, and any time you get a child of God on praying ground with God, they're going to start caring about sinners. That would be a legitimate prayer concern. That would be a legitimate prayer concern even at an invitation in a church service. Lord, give me a burden. God, help me. God, help me. Purpose of the church. Who would have all men to be saved. I intentionally this morning did not want to do anything deep, get in any issue, just a simple, practical truth that'll lead to helping a church. How did we get here as a church? because preachers in the past cared, because of camp meetings that were conducted, because of souls that got saved. That's why we're here today. Someone cared. Someone had a burden. What about the future tomorrow? What about the generation tomorrow? What about the next people? What about when we're gone? Will there still be a church? Sober. We've got to perpetuate that burden. We've got to pass it on. We can't let the embers die out. We've got to be consumed with compassion, with a passion to see people saved. We can't get so lost and so mixed up in our ministries that we lose sight of souls. We can't start making the pulpit, even the Sunday school class, our programs more important than reaching people, because again, who would have all men to be saved? Whether it be church buildings, whether it be buses and vans, whatever it is, it all ought to revolve around getting people saved. That's it. That's why we're here today, is because people got saved. Now, what about this? Would we be saved today if someone that walked across our paths years ago had no more burden in souls than we have? Would we be saved today? My friend, the mantle has been passed on to all of us. This is not a selfish thing. This is not about us. It's about others. It's about commitment to God's agenda. God didn't save us to simply sit around and look pretty on Sundays. God saved us, dressed us up with redemption, gave us the hope of the gospel, put within our beings eternal life and the joy of salvation, and hopefully that should translate in our desiring to see other people also have that glorious experience of salvation. That's how it ought to be. Purpose for the church. Purpose, number one purpose is to reach people with the gospel. Purpose of the church. Scene. What about this? The operation of the Trinity argues. The operation of the Trinity argues for the purpose of the church. They all work together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's a collision on the part of the Trinity. The Father, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, the Father. The Son of Man, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Holy Spirit, when He, the Spirit, has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He convicts. The Trinity have a coalition among themselves to reach the lost with the gospel. The Trinity is on the trail of the sinner. They know the cave that you're hiding in. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, they know the cave that you're hiding in. They have your number, old sinner. And believe you me, it's going to come up. Lost people need to get saved before it's too late. Purpose of the church. Supported by the objective of the church. Supported by the oppression of the lost. Supported by the outreach of the redeemed. Supported by the operation of the Trinity. Supported by the opposition of the condemned. Explain that, preacher. The opposition of the condemned. Support the fact we need to be reaching souls with the gospel. I'll read of Luke 16. Man died and went to hell. Went to hell. Abraham in Abraham's bosom. Or Lazarus, Abraham's bosom. Communication between the two. Send Lazarus. Send Lazarus that he may dip tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, the condemned person said. But it went further. He had some brothers, didn't he? someone could only tell them. If someone could tell them, that man in hell didn't want his brothers there. You hear people sometimes jokingly say they don't realize what they're saying. If I go to hell, I'll have plenty of company there. Let me tell you something. You're not going to appreciate the company, and they're not going to appreciate you. My friend, hell is going to be a lonely place of people that hate you, because hatred will be marked in the eternal character of the condemned. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Character will be marked forever. The reason why we need to be getting people saved is even the condemned, even the opposition of the condemned argue for the fact, let's reach him, because even the people in hell don't want you there. And then this morning, purpose of the church, proven by the objective of the church, proven by the oppression of the lost, proven by the outreach of the redeemed, proven by the operation of the Trinity, proven by the opposition of the condemned, and finally proven by the order of prophecy. Proven by the order of prophecy. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Every verse of prophetic scripture admonishes the sinner to get right with God. Jesus is coming. Tribulation will be on this earth, and there will be judgments. Scriptures, prophecy, are admonishing, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Members of Smith Grove Baptist Church, you and I have no right. You and I are wrong if we forget about the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to do all that we can to rescue the perishing and care for the dying while there's still opportunity. Let's make sure we do that. This morning, my question to all of us is, how burdened are we? If we're not burdened, we ought to ask God to give us a burden. Because, my friend, that's what we must have continually if our church is to survive. Too many lost people going up and down these roads for a church to sit passively by with an uncared, not caring attitude, with just simply the attitude, let's just have church as usual. That's what's hurt us more than anything else, is church as usual. We don't need church as usual. We need church as unusual. That's what we need. We need a stirring today in our midst. Let's pray.